This program is dedicated to a sound.
Stand back, everybody. Give the rescue workers more room. We might be able to save some of those poor guys down there.
Pineville? Not at all. A transcribed excerpt from the Wake Up Kentucky program of June 11, 1945, devoted to labor and industrial problems in Kentucky. The transcription continues. They didn't save Mr. John Q. Minor, and what was left of his remains was buried in the churchyard on the hill. Now, there wasn't any hearse or mourner's car. It was a walk-in funeral. Some friends carried the simple casket over the gravel road a mile and a half up the hill. The widow and children trod with heavy heart after their departed loved one. Tragedy did not end with the untimely death of John Q. Minor. It stalked his widow and the fatherless children. Money cannot compensate for the loss of a loved one, but life must go on, and hungry mouths ask to be fed. Necessity forces Mrs. John Q. Minor to seek the advice of an attorney. Expenses are piling up, and there's...
And I don't have no money at all.
You've received no compensation from the company as yet?
Well, a man came around the other day and wanted me to sign a paper, but he didn't have no money for me.
You didn't sign the document, did you?
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to be easy to get compensation for this loss. You see, in Kentucky, there is no compulsory compensation law. That means that companies don't have to take out compensation insurance if they don't want to. This company had no insurance.
You mean the company's got to pay the money its own self?
Yes. Now, I'll phone the company operator and see what they intend to do. Hello? Hello, I'd like to speak to whoever's in charge there. Oh, well, I can talk to you. This is the attorney for Mrs. John Q. Minor. Her husband was killed in the mine cave-in, and she's in desperate need of funds. Now, what compensation is the company prepared to offer? Oh, no, I hadn't heard. That's a rather shabby way of treating widows and orphans, isn't it? All right, yes, send me a copy. Goodbye.
What'd they say?
Well, not very good news. The company has filed a petition in bankruptcy.
Does that mean they ain't going to pay us nothing?
It means that the laws of the United States give them more protection and relief than the laws of Kentucky give you. They do not intend to give you or the other widows any compensation.
But what'll we do?
Well, we shall try to obtain a judgment against the company. It's our only chance. Now, if the company decides...
The women and children who were the victims of that make-believe tragedy did not receive a cent in workman's compensation due to the fact that there is no compulsory compensation law.
Why isn't there?
Blame the Constitution.
Blame the Constitution.
Blame the Constitution.
Men and women of Kentucky, last week we dramatized the flaws in our Constitution of 1892, a cluttered and antiquated document whose Section 54, with the best intention in the world, acts to defraud the families of men killed in the course of hazardous occupations. Now, it's true that adequate inspection and enforcement would curtail accident. But once tragedy occurs, and tragedies occur even under the best conditions, Kentucky's Constitution is to blame for the fact that dependents are forced to rely on chance and charity. Today, we're faced with a disaster similar to that imaginary situation of 7 months ago. This is no make-believe. It was nearly 7 o'clock the morning after Christmas. In 4 Mile, a mining camp 4 miles from Pineville, cheap wreaths dangled in a row of windows. Somewhere, a little boy was tooting on a Christmas horn. Another kid had gotten a drum from Santa. Jim Bain's wife was packing her husband's lunch, letting her 5 stepchildren sleep while she got their father off to work. He had a job in Kentucky Straight Creek Coal Company's mine number 1.
Here's your lunchbox, Jim. It's got a surprise in it.
Gee, I'd like to loaf another day.
Hurry, or you'll be late.
I like Christmas. I like you.
Oh, go along.
Bells made out of red tissue paper glowed in the frosty windows, and Jim Baines joined the others, jogging toward the mine.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. Where's them fun?
I had too much Christmas yesterday, I reckon. Here comes Nate.
Yeah, might know Foreman be on there.
There's Lawson up ahead and Hobart Selfridge.
Here comes Philpott now and Bennett.
Hi, old-timer. How's your rheumatism?
Get out. I can dig coal two to your one.
Gotta be careful of those old bones of yours.
About 83 now, ain't you?
Ah, you're so and so. I'm only 64.
This program is dedicated to a sound long overdue at Straight Creek Number 1. Federal and state inspectors had already made reports.
1941.
Underground ventilation inadequate.
No underground telephone.
Mine law is neglected in every way.
What happened to the report? It was filed away.
1942. No firefighting equipment is available.
No first aid or mine rescue training given employees.
Nothing is done toward safety.
1943.
1944.
1945.
The sharp rise in accident frequency at Straight Creek Number 1.
Escapeways blocked.
Firing is bad.
The air is foul.
Loose rock.
Gas. Urgent. Gallery left 6 should be closed.
And what happened to that report? What do you think?
31 men fastened on their safety lamps and climbed aboard the trolley.
Didn't they know?
Sure they knew. But a man's got to eat, and a wife and kids have a way of eating, too. The trolley dumped them in gallery left 6. Albert Bennett's fingers were a little stiff. Tom McQueen had a gangling look under a coat of dust. Bud Town was a Negro who escaped when Kettle Island blew its head off back in 29. They talked and laughed.
Okay.
This program is dedicated to a sound which all of them were expecting more or less in the bottom of their minds underneath the laughter, under the clinking of their tools.
Unsafe, unsafe, unsafe. This mine is unsafe. What about my wife? What about the kids? I get no compensation. Get no compensation if you're bumped off. Not in this mine. I'll go someplace else next year. Yeah, that's it. Sure thing. I'll go someplace else. No kidding.
They were too far inside the earth for any sound to issue. Only a silent gargle of brown smoke came out and drifted down the street of Four-Mile Mining Camp. It left a lot of soot on the wreaths and on the red tissue paper bells.
There's a mortar smoke coming out of number one!
We were waiting for a sound, remember? The Negro, Bud Town, led 8 men to a dead-end pocket behind a barricade. They sang and prayed. Bill Brandstutter took a pencil and scribbled on a plank.
It is 10:30. We shut ourselves in here and...
As far as I know, no recommendation that the Kentucky Straight Creek Coal Company mine be closed was ever made in any of the inspection reports I have handled here in the past 11 years.
Outside the mine, they waited. There were no sobs. Now and then a scream somewhere. Nobody knew just who. But mostly they were matter-of-fact about it.
Over there is where Hobart Selfridge lived. He's got 6 children.
You know the rest. They brought 8 out alive. Tom McQueen died in the hospital. The old-timer, Albert Bennett, was gone before they could bring him above ground. Meantime, 23 fires raged and were put out. On the 24th burst loose, between the rescuers and the unrescued, the gas gauge rose and fell and threatened any moment to blow the rescue squad into eternity. Harry Thomas, chief engineer of the Kentucky Department of Mines and Minerals, gave the order.
All out, men. It's no use. We're sealing up the mine.
7 rescued.
7 dead.
17 still missing.
17 of the families of the Straight Creek miners had nothing to bury. They just went home with their heads down. The kid tootled a little on his Christmas horn, and his mother let loose a yell.
I only tooted.
It's all right, kid. Go on and toot. Your pa wanted you to toot, I reckon.
They all went home. Some set about their funeral. Some began to think about looking around for other jobs. They took her down the Christmas wreaths.
Mommy, Mommy, are we going to eat now?
Yes, we'll eat. I don't know just how long. Six of us and only $19 in the house.
20 widows were created by the Straight Creek mine disaster. Do you know how many 20 is? One, two. Also, 130 orphans who will somehow have to be fed, dressed, and educated.
I hear the union's going to make them quit working at 73 mines where they got no compensation. And folks is taking up collections for us.
17, 18, 19, 20.
Wake up, Kentucky. Wake up, Kentucky. Wake up, Kentucky.
Wake up and blame the Kentucky Constitution.
What's the Constitution got to do with it?
Back in 1914, they passed a Workmen's Compensation Act. 32 years ago, come March the 21st.
Fine.
Uh-uh.
Why not?
Judge of the Court of Appeals. He turned it down.
The Kentucky Constitution has limitations and restrictions that are not found in any states which have adopted compensation statutes. Wise or unwise, this court is bound to obey them. The act in question violates the Constitution, and it must therefore be held invalid.
So that was that. Oh, they tried again.
1916, an act to provide an elective system of workmen's compensation.
Elective? You mean mine owners don't have to insure their men if they don't want?
That's it. Optional. And disasters kept right on.
1925, 8 men killed at Cardinal. 1927, Black Mountain, 9 men killed.
6 killed at Kettle Island, 1930.
1932, Yancey, 23 miners dead.
4 dead at Black Star in 1943.
Straight Creek, December 26, 1945, 24 miners dead.
And in between, the little accidents total even more heavily. An average of 147 every year the past 10 years. A disproportionate number occur in mines which are uninsured. But now, let's go back to 4 Mile. A funeral is underway.
Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust.
Those bells are tolling not only for Hobart Selfridge, for the old-timer, for Jim Baines, for Lawson and Centers, and Skinny Tom McQueen, but also for 8 men killed at Cardinal, for Black Mountain, it's 9, for the 6 at Kettle Island, for Yancey's 23, for the 4 who lost their lives at the Black Star. It tolls for 7,105 miners who worked in unprotected mines in 1944, 16% of all who were employed in major mines. It tolls for 1,287 little mines served by trucks, of which there is not so much as a compensation record. It tolls alarm for us, men and women of Kentucky. It tolls alarm for us and for our negligence. And it tolls especially for Section 54 of the Kentucky Constitution.
What's the answer?
Here.
That green and white pamphlet?
This green and white pamphlet. Take it. Read it. Tell your friends to send for one. A penny postal is enough, directed to the station to which they are listening. Join the Committee for Kentucky. For the Committee for Kentucky is pledged to a new and more liberal constitution, a constitution made lean and durable as the one which has governed the destiny of these United States.
A new constitution isn't going to keep us from accidents.
No, but it can prepare Kentucky, as other states prepare, to spread the burden insofar as such burdens can possibly be spread. Now, your state legislature begins its session in Frankfort tomorrow. Write to your representatives. Instruct them to vote for a new constitution during this General Assembly for...
Only the people of Kentucky can cure the ills of Kentucky.
Only the people of Kentucky can restore Kentucky's greatness.
Something must be done. Something will be done. Something is being done.
And remember... the same time next week for another program in this series of Wake Up, Kentucky.